Hi, I'm Adam Walker, a physiotherapist.
And I'm Francois Tudor, an orthopaedic surgeon. And this is Cut and Run.
Our podcast to help you recover from injury and return to sport. Today we're going to talk about graft healing after ACL reconstructions. Today Francois is going to lead the conversation because obviously as a surgeon they make a lot of important decisions around the graft, what types they use, and are very familiar with the process of graft healing after an ACL reconstruction. So first, what happens when we put a graft into the knee as an ACL?
We do not know very much information about this. We think that when we put a biological graft into the knee, it turns into or undergoes a process of ligamentization, meaning it eventually develops the properties of a ligament like the ACL within the knee.
So typically that means that we're taking a hamstring tendon or a quads tendon, and that tendon, we put a tendon in the knee, and then the body itself goes through a process of turning that tendon into a ligament, essentially. Is that correct?
Correct. So, yeah. So, it's all about trying to create the structure of a ligament. So, a ligament is a very complex structure, any part of the body. And the majority of a ligament is made up of collagen fibers, and they're orientated in lots of different directions. But then also it has blood vessels, it has nerve fibers, and has other little molecules in it that gives it its ability to resist force and have a slight stretch to it and to allow the knee or any joint to move dynamically. So what we think happens with graft healing is it adopts some of those properties, but we do also think that it never quite achieves the normal properties of an ACL. So particularly with the nerve fibers, we do not think that it develops the same nerve fibers within it, and therefore patients don't get the same feedback to their brain about exactly where their knee is. And that's why, you know, the rehab is so important, and learning the proprioceptive pathways and developing those in the rehab part of your program after surgery is so important, because we need to overcome the loss of that from the loss of their ACL.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty clear that the ACL has a huge amount of what we call mechanoreceptors, which is what you were talking about, where it allows our bodies to sense where our knee is in space. And when you've lost that, when you injure your ACL, it's really important that the rehab and the process after the surgery is going through appropriate rehabilitation to try and regain that sense of your knee, as you were talking, just as you were talking about. So after, now that there's, you know, a variety of different grafts available, such as previously synthetic ones were gaining a little bit of popularity, we've got allografts, which is from cadaveric tissue, on then our standard kind of more grafts from our own bodies. Is there a difference between these types of grafts?
I believe so, and certainly looking at the literature in the difference in re-rupture or re-injury rate, there is some evidence that an allograft has a higher re-injury rate in comparison to an autograft. So that means a patient's own graft has a lower risk of re-tearing their ACL than one that is taken from another person or a dead body. There isn't a lot of literature looking at these synthetic only grafts, but certainly a lot of experience has shown that the synthetic grafts never really achieve the normal properties of a ligament, and seem to, over time, unfortunately, they seem to fail because they can't, I expect they can't really move and heal like a graft that grows and becomes ligamentized, and so over time it will just get more stiff and then rupture.
That's obviously why the autografts, or grafts from your own body, are still kind of the mainstay of treatment at the moment, because there is the most evidence around those kind of grafts.
Yeah, correct. And I think that may be where the big development in ACL surgery is in the next 10 years, is the, because wherever we take a graft from, if it is from the patient themselves, there is always a bit of detriment. So the common graft used in Australia is the hamstring graft. And we know that patients, if they do excellent rehab, they still only usually manage to get about 95% strength of their hamstrings back after all their rehab. So there is a bit of detriment from taking those grafts. It's minor, but it's still there. So I think in the next 10 years, hopefully, we'll be able to potentially print or grow a ligament graft that will have all of the properties of a ligament, and so we don't have to steal anything from the patient, and we can just implant that, and then the body undergoes a healing process. But we're nowhere near that at the moment.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Linking it back to the rehab side of things, obviously early in the rehab, from my perspective, we're thinking about what activities we can and can't perform because the graft is undergoing this process of ligamentization, and with that, it is not as strong as a normal graft. How does this process link to returning to activity throughout rehab, and then particularly when you're looking at getting back towards sport, or does that process even play a role?
Yeah, I think that as we start to know a bit more, and we really don't understand this process very well, but as we understand more of it, we're starting to realize that the sort of standard return to play protocols have been developed to minimize the risk of re-injury, and it's probably because the graft, and we didn't know about this before, but it's because the graft is slowly maturing. We believe that in most people the graft maturity takes between 9 to 12 months, and it is probably different in every single individual, and so while we're undergoing that maturing phase, we need to protect it because it hasn't got the normal strength of the ACL ligament. It's probably, we think that it's at its weakest around that 3 to 4 month mark, because effectively we think that the body is almost dissolving the tendon fibers and using it as a scaffold to grow back into it and develop the own ligament. So we think around that 3 to 4 month mark is the weakest period. And that's where we do see some early failures if people try to do twisting, pivoting activities too early in their rehab program. And really, the whole rehab program is trying to increase activities within the boundaries of protecting the ACL and having muscles that are strong enough to protect the knee whilst you're doing those activities.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point for people to understand and consider during their rehab, and just really emphasize the importance of undergoing a progressive rehab where you are meeting progressive goal-based criteria that can say, all right, you've got this strength and function around your knee, you're this far post-operative, I reckon you can tolerate these activities, and it just makes things a lot, I guess, safer and better for the patient. What do you think your main take-homes are from what we've covered today?
Yeah, I think this is a complex issue that we're still learning more about. I think the important take-homes are that it is a biological process that progresses over maybe a year time, maybe even longer. And while the ligament itself or the graft is healing and turning into a ligament, we need to protect it by having appropriate muscle strength to allow us to do the activities we're trying to do. Because if we don't have good muscle strength, we risk re-rupturing our graft.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, then head over to our website at cutandrunpodcast.com.au and fill in the contact form. Please let us know if you have any topics you'd like us to cover. See you next time.